who is in charge from the very top? I mean, and I know you write about the corporatocracy, and we've spoken about it already a little bit, but what if, you know, is there really a structure to the organization of the world, or is it just a bunch of sort of mutual interested companies and executives that kind of are fellow travelers in the same field, or do they actually get together and talk and come up with a game plan of, say, the next 10 years of history?
That would be a conspiracy, and they're smart enough not to do that for the most part. Now, periodically things do come up, like, you know, we're all aware of some of the plans that have come out of the Republican Party and the Bush administration that have been developed over a period of time. But really, who runs the show is what I call the corporatocracy, which is the leaders of our biggest industries and corporations. And they're in charge regardless of whether we have a Republican or a Democrat in the White House or running Congress. They're there all along. And they don't have to get together constantly and do anything illegal, because they all basically know what they need in order to survive and to prosper, and that is windfall profits for their corporations. And they know how to go about that. I mean, you know, controlling the resources in other countries is a huge way of doing that. The war machine is a huge way of doing that. And so, you know, they really are the modern equivalent of the old-fashioned emperor. They're not elected like emperors. They don't serve limited terms. They don't really report to anybody. They like to say they report to their boards, but they're all on each other's boards. And in fact, at the very top, they're constantly moving back and forth between government and business. So at one point, somebody's the CEO of a huge corporation. You know, a year later, he's Secretary of Defense or Secretary of State, or she's Secretary of State, or even President or Vice President. And so they're constantly moving back. And so there really is no division between, you know, government and business at the very top. But business pulls the strings. It has the money. And it really determines what our government is going to do, because every politician in this country, every major politician, is beholden to big corporate interests. That's where the money comes from. Not always directly, because corporations are limited in how much they can donate to political campaigns. But the individuals who benefit from those corporations, the stockholders and the management of those corporations, are not restricted. And no major political figure in this country can serve an office without the support of these big corporations. And they also control our press. They either own the press outright or they control it through advertising. And so they really are in charge here. And in fact, you know, that also gives us the opportunity to create an alternative, to really have a revolution that's bloodless. And I talk about that a lot in Secret History, and we'll probably get into that later this evening, I suspect.
Well, and I want to push back a little bit more. I mean, some of what you just said, I would say that's not new. I mean, I'm just giving you feedback on this. I mean, the same things could be said for, I was watching the movie 310 to Yuma today, and they talk about the same forces at work economically on these, you know, small Western towns where these, you know, dirt poor farmers were up against the railroad guys and, you know, or the local business people or however. So what? I mean, this is for better, for worse. This is how our country has grown. It was based on the system that the government was not going to develop business. We weren't going to be fascist. We weren't going to be socialist. There wasn't going to be government-owned businesses per se. Instead, the other way around, it was going to be the free market was run by the private sector, and the private sector would essentially expand the economy. It was the government's job to get out of the way and to let, you know, these private businesses lay down the infrastructure, put down the roads, you know, put down the railroads, create the new businesses so that the rest of us would have jobs and something to do.
Yes, and that's all very true, and it's been a very successful business in a way. It's been a very successful way of development. I'm a capitalist, you know, I'd say that straight outright, and I think that it's a system that can work. And but in various times of history, it's gotten out of control, as it did in the late 1800s, what we call the Gilded Age. And we reined it in the early 1900s, especially under Teddy Roosevelt. But after World War II, it came up in a huge, huge way. I really think that after World War II, subversives took over this whole process. Very, very gluttonous, greedy men who stop at nothing. And their mantra is windfall profits, making a few rich people a lot richer. And so it's when it gets out of hand, and it's how it defines itself. But I also think herein lies the solution. Because most of the people working for our big corporations and for the World Bank and our government really want to create a sustainable, stable, and peaceful world for their kids and their grandchildren, including most chief executives. But they're operating under this principle that says you've got to maximize profits, windfall profits. We need to convince them that what their real job is to be good citizens, to be good communities, because after all, more people in the world see a corporation as their primary community than a village or a town or a city or a state or even a country. And to convince them that instead of having a mantra of windfall profits, let's create a sustainable, stable, and peaceful world. Now, that's going to take capital. Capital deserves to have a return on the investment. And, you know, typically back when I was growing up, we had something called blue chip stocks, which paid 3, 4, 5% above inflation. And if you invested in those, you were set up for life if you invested early enough in your life and continue to. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a very good system. But today we've got to a situation not only where venture capitalists are looking for, you know, 20 to 70% and the hedge funds that control so much, but we've got to a situation where executives are paying themselves outrageous salaries, 400 times more than their average employee. And that's a huge change over just the last 20 or so years that we've seen this happen, this incredible gluttony. And we're seeing the middle class in this country really pushed back and torn apart, burdened with horrible debt, having our pension funds and Social Security and Medicare done away with. So things have gotten on a very, very bad course, and now it's time to turn that around. It doesn't mean the system is inherently wrong. It means that the goals of the system and the values around those goals have been blown way out of proportion. They've taken a very bad turn.
I get that.
As they did in the late 1800s. We turned it around, then we can do it again.